KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear to partly cloudy skies, 38 degrees in Atlantic, looking for a high of 55 under a mostly sunny sky. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In state news, a task force that is working to reshape the state's child sexual abuse laws will consider expanding requirements for reporting abuse. The Iowa Child Sexual Abuse Prevention Task Force has focused its efforts on policies to better train doctors, teachers, social workers, and others who must report suspected abuse to the Iowa Department of Human Services. But now, Task Force Chairman Stephen Scott said the sex abuse scandal at Penn State University may cause the group to broaden the scope of its recommendations to lawmakers in January. The group could consider including adding college officials to the list of those who are required to report abuse and requiring school districts to report abuse by teachers to authorities beyond the state licensing board. I'll have a look at area news coming up next.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In area news, Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reported yesterday that two people had been arrested early Sunday morning following an investigation into a fight at the Ice House restaurant in Clarinda. 38-year-old Derek Wayne Freshour of Villisca was arrested on a felony charge of assault on a peace officer, as well as OWI first offense and interference with official acts. And 36-year-old Heath Patrick Rodney of Hartford, South Dakota, was arrested on a charge of public intoxication and for two counts of interference with official acts. The arrests occurred after a Page County Sheriff's deputy was called to investigate a fight at the restaurant at around 1:30 a.m. Sunday. When he arrived, the deputy was directed to a vehicle with three occupants, which was attempting to leave the parking lot. The driver, identified as Freshour, allegedly attempted to use his vehicle to move the deputy as the deputy was ordering the man to stop. Freshour finally obeyed the command and was taken into custody. He was being held in the Page County Jail on $5,000 bond. Rodney, who was one of the passengers in the vehicle, was booked into the Page County Jail and later posted a $300 bond. The vehicle's other passenger, Joshua Edward Simmons, was not charged. The incident, however, remains under investigation. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reported Monday that an Adair man was arrested last Thursday on a drug charge. 42-year-old John Darren Steckelberg faces a felony charge of delivery of a controlled substance, methamphetamine. Steckelberg was being held in the Cass County Jail on $10,000 bond. And 29-year-old Nathan Lee Lukowski of Council Bluffs was arrested Thursday in Cass County on a district court warrant for probation revocation. Lukowski was being held in the jail on $5,000 bond. Last Friday, 32-year-old Matthew Ray Thies of Atlantic was arrested in Cass County for allegedly violating a no-contact order. Thies was brought to the Cass County Jail and released Saturday on his own recognizance. And 37-year-old James Leroy Chalf of Atlantic was arrested Friday on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear on a driving while suspended citation. Chalf was brought to the jail in Atlantic and later released on $325 bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday that one person had suffered minor injuries during an accident that took place November 3rd, a few miles north of Farragut. Judson Crine of Farragut was driving a 2007 Dodge Caliber on 370th Avenue when he pulled into the intersection of 190th Street and was hit by a 2000 Buick Century. That vehicle was driven by Michael Glenn of Riverton. An unidentified passenger in one of the vehicles was taken to the Shenandoah Hospital for treatment of minor injuries. Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that a juvenile reported missing Friday night from Coyne was found safe and sound in nearby College Springs. Deputies were sent to a home in Coyne after the boy's mother called just after 11 p.m. Friday to report her son had not been seen since 6 a.m. that same day. While deputies were investigating the possibility the juvenile may have been with his father in Missouri following a custody dispute, they managed to locate the youth in the area. The boy called his mother, who let him stay with a friend for the night in the College Springs area. Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Department of Public Health says the first flu case of the year has been confirmed in a child in Polk County. DPH Medical Director Patricia Quinlisk says it's another reminder to get a vaccination if you haven't already. Dr. Quinlisk says you could save yourself from some nasty symptoms.
The strain that occurred in our confirmed case was what we call an AH3. What that really means is this is the one, the strain that can cause people to get very sick. And it's the strain that tends to hit older people, though can hit anybody of any age. But the A strains typically are the ones that make you really sick, put you in bed for a week, or put you in the hospital, or, to be honest, can kill you. So, again, this is not a good strain.
The flu can make you very sick, and in some cases, as you mentioned, can lead to death. Quinlisk says you'll get the benefit of the vaccine pretty quickly after it's delivered.
Well, it sort of depends on your immune system and how healthy it is, and whether you've been vaccinated before and you're just boosting, vaccines that you've had in years previous. Generally, a healthy person will start responding to the vaccine pretty much right away. May take a week or two for you to have full immunity, but say by the next day you have maybe 10% or something like that.
Quinlisk says there's evidence that getting the flu vaccine every year can build up more immunity.
It doesn't carry over to the point of protecting you, and that's why you would still need to get a flu vaccine each year. But most people would think that if you've been vaccinated before, you're sort of building on that, and that, for example, if you've been vaccinated every year for the last 10 years, the vaccine you get this year will be more robust and more likely to give you full protection than, say, somebody who's never been vaccinated before.
And if you don't like shots, there is also a mist vaccine that goes into your nose. Quinlisk says you can check with your doctor or local health department to find out where to get the flu shot. Iowa farmers are putting the finishing touches on the harvest as worries grow about the possibility of a dry 2012. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said in the weekly crop report issued Monday that nearly all of the corn and soybeans have been harvested. Grain moving from farm to elevator is slow, but storage on and off farm is adequate. Iowa Agriculture Secretary Bill Northey said the lack of moisture is a concern as farmers look ahead to next year. Much of Iowa, except the Northwest, had snow last week. The report says over half of northwest Iowa is now considered very short of topsoil and subsoil moisture. State climatologist Harry Hilliker said the statewide average precipitation was about an inch, marking the wettest week in 11 weeks. The Practical Farmers of Iowa have received a $128,800 grant from the Department of Health and Human Services for its Beginning Farm program. PFI spokesperson Sally Worley said the program gives new farmers an incentive to save money.
We have a few requirements for them for the program, and that one that's related to the funds is we would like to see them learn how to save money from income they earn, and then at the end of the program we are matching that to put toward an asset for their farm business.
The beginning farmers are asked to save $100 each month for the two-year period of the program, and as she said, PFI will match those dollars for a total of $48. Worley said the second part of the program gives them guidance in developing their farm business.
In year one of the program, they're matched with a mentor suited for what they want to learn, so they meet with a mentor to learn additional skills. They attend at least four events Practical Farmers of Iowa puts on that are led by other farmers. And then by the end of the two-year program, they have a completed business plan that has been reviewed and approved upon according to the review process.
She says coming up with a business plan could be the toughest part of the program, but she says they'll have plenty of help.
While they're going through the business planning process, they're learning about different lending capabilities they have out there, different ways to link with land and other resources, as well as forming a strong network of support in Iowa, whether that be with bankers, suppliers, or fellow farmers who can assist them on their venture to become successful farmers.
Worley says they set a goal of raising $250,000 for the program, and the grant puts them well above that amount.
This is technically our first year of the program. We signed up 10 people that were selected last fall, and they officially began the program January of this year, January of 2011. And then the committee just met last week to select 25 to go forward for next year, and we will do that for 3 years beyond that to eventually put 100 to 110 10 participants through the program.
Worley says the farmers involved will include a wide range from traditional row crop farmers to those who are starting new farms that raise specialty crops. For additional information, you can call the Practical Farmers of Iowa at 515-232-5661 or visit their website at www.practicalfarmers.org. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, there will be no tents, sleeping bags, or tarps for anti-Wall Street protesters in New York. This morning, demonstrators were kicked out of the park where they've been camped for 2 months so the site could be cleaned. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said when the protesters return, they'll have to follow all park rules, and that means no more camping equipment. The White House is launching pilot programs today that are intended to cut Medicare and Medicaid waste and fraud. The Health and Human Services Department will oversee things like testing changes to outdated hospital billing systems to prevent overbilling. Today's executive action is part of President Obama's plan to bypass gridlock in Congress. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Beatrice Suplee, age 92 of Anita, died Friday. A memorial service for Beatrice Suplee will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. John Benink, age 95, formerly of Manila, died November 7th in Missouri. Funeral services for John Benink will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has arrangements. Ramona Mona Gail Peterson, age 83 of Harlan, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Mona Peterson will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. George Raub, age 87 of Sun City, Arizona, and formerly of Audubon, died October 27th. Celebration of Life memorial services for George Raub will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Devonna Sackett, age 84 of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Funeral services for Devonna Sackett will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Fairview Congregational Christian Church in rural Stewart. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Mary Geezer, age 79 of Harlan, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Geezer will be held Thursday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Doris Gipple, age 91 of Bridgewater, died Monday. Services for Doris Gipple are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Timothy Dean Tim Tye, age 54 of Atlantic and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center, where he'd resided for the past 4 years. Services for Tim Tye are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. And Melvin Snyder, age 78 of Atlantic, died this morning at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Melvin Snyder are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. More news is available online at KJAN.com. This report was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.